Isaiah 45. Let's hear God's word now. Thus says Jehovah to his anointed, to Cyrus whose right hand I have held, to subdue nations before him and loose the armor of kings, to open before him the double doors so that the gates will not be shut. I will go before you and make the crooked places straight. I will break in pieces the gates of bronze and cut the bars of iron. I will give you the treasures of darkness and hidden riches of secret places, that you may know that I, Jehovah, who call you by your name, am the God of Israel. For Jacob my servant's sake and Israel my elect, I have even called you by your name. I have named you, though you have not known me. I am Jehovah, and there is no other. There is no God besides me. I will gird you, though you have not known me, that they may know from the rising of the sun to its setting that there is none besides me. I am Jehovah, and there is no other. I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create calamity. I, Jehovah, do all these things. Rain down, you heavens from above, and let the skies pour down righteousness. Let the earth open. Let them bring forth salvation, and let righteousness spring up together. I, Jehovah, have created it. Woe to him who strives with his maker. Let the potsherd strive with the potsherds of the earth. Shall the clay say to him who forms it, what are you making? Or shall your handiwork say, he has no hands? Woe to him who says to his father, what are you begetting? Or to the woman, what have you brought forth? Thus says the Lord, the Holy One of Israel and his Maker, ask me of things to come concerning my sons, and concerning the work of my hands command me. I have made the earth and created man on it. I, my hands, stretched out the heavens, and all their host I have commanded. I have raised him up in righteousness, and I will direct all his ways. He shall build my city and let my exiles go free, not for price nor reward, says the Lord of hosts. Thus says the Lord, the labor of Egypt and the merchandise of Cush and of the Sabaeans, men of stature, shall come over to you, and they shall be yours. They shall walk behind you, they shall come over in chains, and they shall bow down to you. They will make supplication to you, saying, surely God is in you. And there is no other. There is no other God. Truly, you are God who hide yourself, O God of Israel, the Savior. They shall be ashamed and also disgraced, all of them. They shall go in confusion together who are makers of idols. But Israel shall be saved by the Lord with an everlasting salvation. You shall not be ashamed or disgraced forever and ever. For thus says the Lord, who created the heavens, who is God, who formed the earth and made it, who has established it, who did not create it in vain, who formed it to be inhabited. I am Jehovah, and there is no other. I have not spoken in secret in a dark place of the earth. I did not say to the seed of Jacob, seek me in vain. I, Jehovah, speak righteousness. I declare things that are right. Assemble yourselves and come. Draw near together, you who have escaped from the nations. They have no knowledge, who carry the wood of their carved image and pray to a God that cannot save. Tell and bring forth your case. Yes, let them take counsel together. Who has declared this from ancient time? Who has told it from that time? Have not I the Lord, and there is no other God besides me, a just God and a Savior? There is none besides me. Look to me and be saved, all you ends of the earth, for I am God and there is no other. I have sworn by myself, the word has gone out of my mouth in righteousness and shall not return, that to me every knee shall bow, every tongue shall take an oath. He shall say, surely, in the Lord I have righteousness and strength. To him men shall come, and all shall be ashamed who are incensed against him. In the Lord all the descendants of Israel shall be justified and shall glory. May God bless his word to us today. I continue to be astonished. As a young man, I preached through this chapter in 2 sermons. I did not get near to the depth that I should have. And I probably still won't. There will be plenty for you to think about as we get through this. As you look at your bulletin, it lies. I was planning on preaching verses 8 through 13 today, but just late this morning I got thinking, no. All kinds of verses and ideas were whirling about in my head, and I thought, I cannot preach all of that. There is too much in verse 8 just swiftly to pass over it. So we should be looking at verse 8 and verse 8 alone today. And so if you look at what we have here on the back side, the little outline, that's also false. And I'll be touching upon those A, B, and C there under verse 8, but there's much more that we're going to look at today. Rain down, you heavens, from above, and let the skies pour down righteousness. Let the earth open. Let them bring forth salvation. And let righteousness spring up together. I, Jehovah, have created it. That's verse 8. Let's think of some things. Now, we know about rain. If you live around here, just last night, we had a bunch with a lot of lightning and a lot of thunder. As a matter of fact, there is a reason why none of you got the electronic bulletin last night. That's because from about 5 o'clock on, the computer was hardly on. Most of that time, as a matter of fact, it was physically disconnected from the Wi-Fi, from the internet router. It was physically disconnected from power. I turned off everything, and then I clicked off the power bars, the surge protectors, and then I physically unplugged them. Everything was unplugged. So that lightning, close by lightning strikes, and we had a few, could not hit. We have, as of this morning, an inch of water in our rain gauge. Some of you have similar to that amount. Those of you who live far to the northwest of us did not, sadly. But in any case, the water poured down. There were a number of times when we had to go running around to our windows, shutting them again, and then later on opening them back up, or rain would have poured down into our house. When it is very dry, of course, such rain is very welcome indeed. Not so much when the ground is saturated, but after a long summer, frequently, rain of this sort is very welcome indeed. It blesses our crops. It gives us joy. The dirt and the dust are all washed away, and things, particularly when it's a cold front coming through this time of year, back behind the front, behind the storms, is a sparkling blue sky. Bright, beautiful sunshine. Well, here it is. God has moved Isaiah to cry for raining down from the heavens. He cries for righteousness to rain down. This whole chapter is talking about deliverance as we've read it here. That is rescue. That is salvation. And on one level, of course, it's a kind of earthly deliverance. On one level, it's looking at Cyrus, the king of the Persians, who had come along in a few hundred years. But on another level, it is very much looking to what this whole second part of Isaiah has been looking to, the coming of the Christ and deliverance and delight in him. In order to expect deliverance, there must be righteousness. Now, what is righteousness? What is righteousness? Righteousness is being innocent before the law of God. Righteousness is being not guilty when God measures us according to the standard of His Word. Righteousness is something that you and I of ourselves do not have. In fact, we never have. Why, we sing sometimes from Psalm 51 about the fact that we were conceived in iniquity. Not that the act of our parents in conceiving us was sinful, but when we came to conception, when we were first constituted as a separate person in the eyes of God, not at our birth, not in third trimester, not when our heartbeat could first be felt, but at our very conception, before God, we had no righteousness. At that very point, when we were conceived, we were already, or we became at that point, a moral separate person. And we were born in sin. There is none righteous. No, not one. We sing from Psalms 14 and 53. We have no righteousness before the law. We are guilty because on our account is Adam's sin. Within our hearts is a natural bent toward, we might say, a natural proclivity for sin. And we've just multiplied things by our own sins. What we have done that we shouldn't, what we have not done that we should. And even very small children, babies, know right and wrong to a large degree. To a degree that many who have never had children can hardly credit. Righteousness cannot come from ourselves. Yet righteousness is what we need for deliverance. Where will we find righteousness? It must come from someplace else. Now the saints have long cried out for righteousness to come down. Isaiah does it here. Rain down, you heavens from above, and let the skies pour down righteousness. Let the earth open, let them bring forth salvation, and let righteousness bring up together. I, Jehovah, have created it. Now, this isn't the only place where He has done so. Well, let me back up. Isaiah is not the only person who has cried out for righteousness. Perhaps you with me might think of Job crying out. In Job 19, a well-known verse, set of verses. Let me begin at verse 23 and read down for a few verses. Job says, "Oh, that my words were written. Oh, that they were inscribed in a book. That they are engraved on a rock with an iron pen and lead forever. For," in verse 25, "I know that my Redeemer lives, and He shall stand at last on the earth. And after my skin is destroyed, this I know, that in my flesh I shall see God, whom I shall see for myself, and my eyes shall behold, and not another. How my heart yearns within me." Job looked forward to a day when righteousness would come down. Isaiah, writing later, well, at least it's later in the book, in chapter 64, verse 1, "Oh, that you would rend the heavens, that you would come down, that the mountains might shake at your presence." There in chapter 64, Isaiah is yearning for redemption and righteousness to come down. Righteousness cannot come from the bulls of blood, the blood of bulls, of sheep, of goats. If it did, why the sacrifices would not need to continue. And it cannot come from us. How can an unclean thing bring forth righteousness? Now rather, God has moved Isaiah to call for it from the only place righteousness could come, from above. Righteousness must come down from above, given by God Himself in Christ. This was a yearning found in other places in the Old Testament. We look particularly now at this image of the raining down. Isaiah's got it in a passage we looked at some time ago. In Isaiah 32, verse 15, until the Spirit is poured upon us from on high, and the wilderness becomes a fruitful field, and the fruitful field is counted as a forest, that's when deliverance shall come. Or, more recently, we have seen in chapter 44, just the previous chapter here, in verse 3, I will pour water on him who is thirsty, and floods on the dry ground. I will pour my Spirit on your descendants, and my blessing on your offspring. And we looked at that just a few weeks ago, seeing how this was indeed a picture of the coming of the Holy Spirit in our day. In the day when all the promises are fulfilled. In the day when all the types, shadows, and forms are brought to a reality through the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. But Isaiah is not the only one who has spoken of the coming down of the rains and the coming down of righteousness. We can look, for example, and these are just a few selections that I looked up quickly. There are others. We can look in Ezekiel chapter 34. And I begin reading at verse 25. I will make a covenant of peace with them, speaking of God's people, and cause wild beasts to cease from the land. And they will dwell safely in the wilderness and sleep in the woods. Verse 26, I will make them and the places all around my hill a blessing, and I will cause showers to come down in their season. There shall be showers of blessing. Maybe some of you know that there is a hymn called that. There shall be showers of blessing. We could go further to the book of Joel. There in the 12 minor prophets. The second one. And in chapter 2, we read in verses 28 and 29. It shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. And also on my men servants and on my maid servants, I will pour out my Spirit in those days. Peter quoted that, of course. In Acts chapter 2, verse 33, when preaching on the day of Pentecost. Or we look a little further on here in Joel. In verse 18 of chapter 3, it will come to pass in that day that the mountains shall drip with new wine, the hills shall flow with milk, all the brooks of Judah shall be flooded with water, a fountain shall flow from the house of the Lord and water the valley of the acacias. All this speaks of the pouring out of the Holy Spirit in days to come. We saw that, or we have seen that the Apostle Peter preached about that on Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, verse 33. Paul speaks of something similar when writing to Titus in chapter 3, verses 3 through 6. There he writes, we ourselves were also once foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But when the kindness and the love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, you see, there is no righteousness within us, But according to His mercy, He saved us through the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior. You see, all this picture here, this picture of raining down, this picture of pouring out, and we speak of rain that way. It's just pouring outside, we say, don't we? All this here in the Scripture, particularly in the Old Testament, is looking forward to that which we see and experience today. The pouring out of righteousness as from the heavens our Lord Jesus Christ has come. From the heavens He came to take on the full nature of man, taking that to Himself. From heaven He has come to live righteously, perfectly, in the place of His people. From heaven He has come to go through the various steps of humiliation that He might bear all and experience all and do righteously all the way through, never sinning, so that that might go on our account. Perfectly He lived, He who came down from heaven, so that the sacrifice of Himself might be perfect and effectual, so that the priest himself, the great mediatorial high priest, the priest himself might be pure. And from heaven He came so that to the cross and to the grave He might go, bearing the guilt of our sin. Even as He substituted His righteousness for our guilt, so in His life and in His death, He substituted our guilt to Himself. From heaven He came to live for us, to die for us. And then because He effectively did so, He is now raised for us. And now He has returned to heaven, but from heaven, even as He promised, showered down, poured down blessing. For He promised that when He returned to heaven, after He ascended, He would send the Holy Spirit, about whom He had taught and whom He had promised. And that is exactly what happened. We, by God's grace, have Him, the Holy Spirit, indwell us. He has rained down upon us, purifying us from our sin. He has poured out upon us this lavish gift from God. And interestingly enough here, as we look at verse 8, we see that this is not limited. The blessing of this rain, this pouring out, is not limited to some real estate in the Near East. No, rain down, you heavens from above, and let the skies pour down righteousness. Let the earth open. Let them bring forth salvation and let righteousness spring up together. I, the Lord, have created it. This is for all the earth. This salvation brought by God would fill the earth. It shall yet fill the earth. Now, when the people of God were delivered from their Babylonian captivity, when they were delivered to return to their homes after many decades, to rebuild the walls, but far more important, to rebuild the temple, there was joy, there was gladness. We sing about that sometimes when we sing from Psalm 126. But that was just a little picture, that was just a little type of the great joy that has come in our own day and what is yet to come in Christ at His coming again. For with this rain and with this pouring out of water, this pouring out of the gift of the Holy Spirit, what comes with that is the promise that the earth should be filled with the knowledge of the glory of God as the waters cover the sea. God and God alone has done this. To God and to God alone should be given the glory. Have you experienced this? Have you been delivered from the hellish heat and the deadly dryness, the nastiness of your sin? It's awful. Have you been delivered from it? Has God in His grace rained down upon you? And has His Spirit been poured out upon you because of what Jesus has done for sinners? Well, then rejoice. If this has happened, rejoice. And remember once again that this is nothing you have done. This is nothing you have deserved. No, what you have deserved is a dry and burning desert. But God has brought righteousness to you from above. He has brought righteousness to you with a design that is from eternity. It does not depend, and aren't we glad, upon anything that we have done or will yet do. So it said there in the Titus chapter 3, verses 5 and 6 in particular. No, rather, our deliverance is sure. Righteousness has made us live. Now, by God's grace, we are no longer dry and dead and brown. No, we live, and we are green, and we reflect His glory. Or is this not something you know of? Is this something which sounds wonderful, sounds great, which you are actually becoming desperate for because now you feel it? Now you see it. Now it comes upon you what your condition is. Well, let me tell you, you may have this life. You may be transformed. Isaiah was moved by Jehovah to cry out for this rain. And he looked forward to it coming in faith. He was saved by, in his day, the one who would come. But if you want to be delivered from this dryness and death, this heavy weight of guilt, then cry to the same one. Cry to Jesus Christ, who is Himself the living water, and who gives this living water to all who ask for it, as He told the woman at the well in John chapter 4. Cry out to Him. He will hear you. Cry out to Him. He will not refuse you, for He has promised He will not do so. Cry out to Him to rain down His righteousness upon you. Cry out to Him to deliver you from your sin. And you shall experience that which you never have before. You thought all along that you lived, but you shall see you existed. But now you have true life. Now, it's very tempting for us as Americans to see this in an individual way. And there is, as I've just made it, individual application. But, you see, this is a promise for all the world. Here is a basis for our trusting that God will be redeeming all the world. Do we see problems in our own society? Transformation that is needed? Do we see how things are not yet yielded to the great King whom God has set on His hill? Well then, we can pray this, that there will be a great raining down, a great pouring out of God's Spirit on people round about us and throughout our land and all lands. For God has promised that he shall bring it. Let us be praying that he will rain. Let us be praying that he will pour. Let us be praying that all the earth will respond. That he will give hearts that will indeed open. That he will give societies that should be responsive. And let it be that even as the rain comes down upon a desert land, and within just a short time, suddenly there is a huge growth of plants that God has specially made to live in deserts, so that when the occasional rain comes, they burst forth into luxurious greenery and beautiful flowers for a time. Let it be that as the rain of righteousness comes down, that the earth shall open and righteousness will be reflected back. Righteousness given, righteousness received and attributed to the people who once were dead, once were guilty, once were lost, far off. That they might respond in their greenery, in their loveliness, in their perfume, to give glory to God in their praise and thanksgiving as the kingdoms of this world become the kingdoms of our God, who shall reign, R-E-I-G-N, forever and ever. Amen. Well, not only are we not going through all the scripture that I said, we're not going to sing the Psalms I said either. Ultimately, this points to Christ and the giving of the Spirit through him. So I should like us to continue singing here now, not from Psalm 2 or Psalm 85b. We'll save those for next week. Let's continue singing from Psalm 72. We'll sing now from Part B, and then near the end of our worship service from Part C. But all of these look to the coming King, well, in our day, to the King who has come, and to what he shall bring. We already sang in the first part that till sun and moon no more are known, they shall thee fear in ages all. He'll come as rain on meadows moan, and showers upon the earth that fall. He brings life and refreshment. He sends down the working, the indwelling Holy Spirit. It is he that we shall praise then, using the rest of this psalm. So